Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we're talking about the real life stories behind the deportation system, the cruelty, the inhumanity in some of the systems that we have. That the numbers that we see on the pages, there are people behind those numbers. People, speaking of someone who has never actually looked at numbers or has no grasp of them at all, Martin, how are you?
Yeah, I'm an emotionally driven animal. That's me, Tony. What can I say?
I'm glad one of us actually has an idea of keeping an eye on the numbers, you know? We'd get nothing done if it wasn't for me.
Listen, just to remind everybody, these pods don't grow on trees, so please stick your hand in your pocket, patreon.com/tortoiseshack, and become part of the Tortoiseshack family.
Just also, if you are a member, there's been a few updates today. Caroline West of Glow West Podcast is running a couple of workshops, and she's going to be doing a live event. And there's discount codes for members, so make sure you click on them if you're interested, because she's a brilliant communicator and a great educator. And, you know, get the advantage where you can. And thanks for the support. Really doesn't happen without you. Anyway, look, much more importantly, we are delighted to be joined on the line by Bernie Darcy. And many of our listeners will be familiar with Bernie from Twitter and social media and her campaign for herself and her partner, Benjamin, and his ongoing struggle, both of their ongoing struggle to try and remain in Ireland and fighting against the deportation system. Bernie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me on, Tony. It's a pleasure to be connecting with yourself and Martin.
It's something we probably should have covered sooner, if I'm totally honest. But we're here now, and you might want to give listeners who aren't familiar just a bit of background about the story of yourself and Benjamin, if you don't mind.
Myself and Benjamin are together for about 7 years, hitting the 8 years now, I presume, this year. And we're very, very sappy and madly in love and don't want to be separated by anybody or anything, any boundaries or borders. And if this deportation goes ahead, we will be separated. And for that, it means that I'll be alone here in Ireland and Ben will be alone in Sierra Leone because he has no family. While I have family in Ireland, they're scattered everywhere. And I have a sibling in Dublin and a sibling in Wexford, and my own children are scattered. But go ahead.
No. And you said coming up on 8 years now, and you met Benjamin and he was in the direct provision system.
He was. And a lot of people said to me, no, don't go there. Like, just back off. But from the first time I met Ben, we literally clicked. He was really, really patient and just cared about me as a person. It wasn't what I had or what I didn't have. It was me as a person he actually cared about. So we got together, like, and we'd see each other as often as we could because he was up in Donegal and I was in Dublin at the time. And that was getting harder and harder, like trying to travel, trying to get time off work, trying on my days off, driving up to Donegal, or Ben using his little bit of money that he was getting from the state to travel down to Dublin on the train, or the bus, I should say. That Donegal is just out of the corner of Ireland and it has very little interaction with the rest of the country. But then when he was transferred to the hotel in Newbridge, we were there discussing, like, where do we go from here in our own relationship. And he never pushed me. He never said, I'll move in with you, or, like, it was a joint decision that he did transfer to Newbridge, but then we decided together, because he was so unhappy there and because we wanted to be together, we decided that we wanted to be together. He moved into a studio apartment with me in Rackar.
And he entered the direct provision system in Ireland. How long was he in the direct provision system?
He's in the system 14 years. It'll be coming up to 15 years.
Wow, that's like a very long time.
If he was a child, he'd be a teenager now. Like if he was a child born in the system, he'd be a teenager.
So 14 years in a country, you become as much part of that country as your birth country. I mean, I know that myself. How difficult is this for him?
It's very difficult because, like, you can imagine he qualified as a journalist back in Africa, and he was a proofreader as well. Like, he can't work. All his talents are literally going unused and getting forgotten about. Literally, like, it's demeaning and degrading. I'm going into work and he's trying to keep busy. Like, I'm asking him, trying to think of things to do, but not to make him feel that I'm not doing the housework as well, or doing, like, I'd say I'd cycle up to work. We wash my car today. You know, like, it's degrading and humiliating to be an asylum seeker in Ireland because you're literally stripped of everything. And once he left the system, he lost the little financial assistance that you get, asylum seekers get, and he lost his medical card as well.
How imminent is deportation now?
The 12th of February is the date for the deportation this time. He'd been getting letters down through the years, like, for him to report to the GNIB with a view to getting deported or another appointment. In March, the tone of the letter changed totally. It was literally to present himself for deportation.
This is March. This is March of 2020.
March 2020. Yes, sorry.
In the middle, as a global pandemic was kicking off.
Yeah, and I'm also out sick since August 2019 with stress and depression. So you can imagine that this has left the two of us kind of in a bad place. The date keeps on getting moved because of the pandemic, because of COVID. And when he presented himself the last day in March or in,
It was late last year, wasn't it?
It was late last year. Yeah, December, sorry. I couldn't actually go in with him. I couldn't go into the GNIB offices with him. He had to go in himself. And I waited outside. I didn't know if he was going to come back out again or if that was it, like that he was going in and that I wouldn't see him again.
Bernie, can I ask, is there a place for him to be a productive citizen in Ireland? I hate using that phrase, but it seems to be the bar. Is there a place in Ireland for him to be a productive citizen? Can he work here? Can he contribute? Does that space exist?
If Ben was given his leave to remain here, there would be a place for him. He did his VTAC up to the highest level that you could do. I think it was level 6. And he was then told that the next step would be to go to university. But because he's an asylum seeker, we can't afford the fees because it would be for a non-EU student. And he will go back and study and requalify, if not in journalism here, in whatever he wanted to do. And like, he's more than willing to work to keep himself and support me as well. Because the way he looks at it is that this is his home and he doesn't want to be a burden on Ireland or the people of Ireland either. He wants to contribute as a normal citizen.
Well, it is his home. I mean, you know, it is his home. People who are here can live here, belong here, and should be allowed given, I mean, How cruel is it to put someone through that system of now coming up on 15 years and to then say, show them the door? I know it's difficult, and I know you've expressed as through the campaign the mental health issues that both of you have suffered. It must be really, really hard for people, for listeners to understand that, you know, even without the medical card requirement now, that you're at the, you have actually had to turn to people, to the generosity of strangers, just to try and get some, to talk to a doctor in effect.
Yeah, literally, our friend Jenny set up a GoFund for our day-to-day living and Ben's medical expenses as well, because he's been in hospital twice, getting kidney stones removed, and he's due back in for another operation. So the GoFund has really helped us all together, because while I'm on sick leave, my doctor signed me off certs before I could get onto another social welfare scheme. So I've reapplied for one. I've applied for one which I got rejected. I've reapplied for social welfare benefits, and we're waiting word. Without the kindness of strangers, for which we're really grateful, we'd be cold and hungry. That's literally the only way to put it. We do have the rent allowance, which we top up, and we're really grateful for that. But it's just so hard. Every time I go to a shop, I stand and think, without the kindness of strangers, I wouldn't be in the shop.
Bernie, can I ask, if worst comes to the worst, what are you going to do?
If the worst comes to worst, I will campaign as much as I can. I would have a protest. I literally would come, if they deport Ben, God forbid, I would fight hammer and tooth to get him back into the country. It would be a major operation. It'd be really, really hard to get him back in if they deport him. But I'd never give up. There's no such thing as giving up. Like, both of us are in our 50s. It's not as if we're teenagers that we can start life easy. Not the teenagers find life easy either. I'm not, like, belittling their lives. But, like, to be in your 50s and to have this on your head, it's horrific. And I call it our deportation order, because I feel the weight of it as well. And I'm watching Ben suffer. Like this morning, to wake up and to start getting out of bed and afraid to be pulled back and to be hooked by a man who's crying, God, don't take me, I don't want to die. Like, and he kept on muttering, don't take me, don't take me.
That's a terrible way to live, Bernie. That's an awful way to live, isn't it, really? It really is an awful way to live. It's a stress in one of the most stressful times in the world for people. And that's just an added stress on top that he could do without.
Yeah, like every time I see Ben, look at Ben across from me, some nights we're looking at television, I look at him and I see all the asylum seekers who have deportation orders, people who are in centres. Like, Ben has me making sure he eats, making sure he gets dressed, he gets showered. But there's people in asylum centres that are probably lying in their bed, that there's nobody really worrying about whether they get up or they get fed or washed. Like, it's all about trying to keep them motivated, keep on living.
I want to go, I did say at the outset we would touch on the broader deportation system. There is an inherent cruelty in that, you know, and there will be, no doubt, when we put this podcast out, there will be people saying, well, the only cruelty is that they didn't get them out quicker. You know, they didn't push them through the system in 2 years and send them off. That's, you can't live with that reality. That is not the reality. That is not what happened. Someone is now here 14 years, and we've seen, in order to get leave to remain, is there, you know, are there human rights organizations, groups that are supporting you? Are there human rights lawyers? I mean, I've spoken to some of them on this podcast myself that are fighting in the background, or are there avenues open to you guys that you feel give you hope?
Well, Ben's lawyer and our friend Dr. Lucy Michael are getting together, and they're representing Ben's case to the minister. So we're hopeful that Dash will stop his deportation and give him leave to remain. Like, I'm begging a minister the same age as one of my children to give my partner leave to remain. And, like, I would hate to think that my child was somewhere in the world doing this to somebody.
And it is worth remembering that the Irish diaspora, Irish-born diaspora, is one of the biggest group of immigrants in the world. And we export people on a massive scale, and we expect a good reception at the other end. And in general, we get it, and we absolutely do get it. But we don't return that favor or that respect to others who come here. And we really don't, in the context of Ireland, we really don't have a lot of asylum seekers in Ireland. People have an impression that there's a huge amount, but there so isn't. We underachieve on every target that's set on asylum seekers. We absolutely underachieve. And when it comes to taking people in schemes out of the EU, we are consistently on the bottom of the scale, consistently. We are not in any way overrun by people looking for status in Ireland. We're not in any way overrun.
We're not. I actually have two of my four children, of my adults, I should say, living abroad. I have one in Japan and one in Australia. And, like, they're not ringing up or writing up to say I'm being deported. They're saying, like, we're living a good life. We're having a great life here. We're going to stay here. Like, it's just such a flip side of the coin, really, when you see how like the people are treated here in Ireland compared to when they emigrate from Ireland to other countries.
Bernie, obviously this is the heartbreak behind the numbers that I referred at the outset. This is the actual families that have been torn apart, relationships that have been, you know, grown over years, and this is the stuff that's actually happening for all of these numbers that we see. If people want to support you guys, what's the best way they can do so?
What they could do, they could write to the Minister for Justice, or they could support our GoFund, keep us trotting along, keep us ticking along, to keep that stress of daily life out of our mind and off. Like, that's a stress as well, worrying about Ben's medical bills.
The other call I'd put on people as well is to remember, in the broad sense, is that the white paper to end direct provision was due at the end of 2020, and it still hasn't materialised. And we need to keep the focus on that as well, because, you know, it has to contain a lot of the recommendations from the daily report, and we need to see that people, that this system that Bernie and Ben have gone through, effectively, you've gone through this together. I know, you know, you refer to it as our deportation. You've gone through that together, that this can't continue to happen to people. And the impacts, as you heard here today, the impacts should not be acceptable in any circumstances. So do let also end direct provision campaign. I know Amnesty do a lot of work every Friday. They push it, looking for a date, push to bring the date forward for Minister Roderick O'Gorman to do it. And you can get Bernie on Twitter. You will see the hashtag Stop Benjamin's Deportation. Just Stop Deportations. And I also agree, Dr. Lucy Michael is doing some great work as well in there. So do check that out. Bernie and Ben, we do wish you all the best, and we will do our best to try and put a little bit of weight behind your campaign.
Thanks a million. What I want to say as well is that for years we've been helping asylum seekers. I'm not bragging, I'm just building on what we do. We've been helping asylum seekers get what they need, what should be provided for them. And throughout that work, I've been meeting and supporting people with deportation orders, wonderful asylum seekers who hadn't got a clue what we were battling. The night that I put up, when Bulani organised the petition, which has gone to the Minister for Justice, the night that I put that up on social media, my phone didn't stop ringing. My inbox on Facebook, like, people were literally shocked. Oh my God, like, you are the same as us. You and Ben are going through that. No wonder you had so much empathy for our situation. They didn't know, like, when I'd say, I know how you feel, I know, they didn't believe me. They thought that I was just saying it to plumb them off, like, to just to say, to get rid of them for that minute.
We certainly extend both our sympathies and our hopes for both of you that it can be resolved. And we know it can be resolved. Look, it's simply a decision that can be made by a minister. It isn't really difficult to resolve this, but we do. We sincerely hope that the two of you are allowed to stay together and just live your lives.
Thanks, Maya Martin. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, folks. No patron shout. You've heard what you have to do. You have to go and support the campaign to stop Benjamin's deportation. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.